and welcome to the media ministry of Daniel Mattiola Ministries. The message you are about to hear was preached by Pastor Ruth Mattiola. Please relax, listen, and enjoy the Word of God, and let it bring light into your life. God bless you.
Chapter 1 is the foundation for the entire 150. I believe with all my heart that if you can grasp chapter 1, you can write through the rest of the Psalms. Because the book of Psalms is not just a book of doctrine. I believe it's a combination, it's compilation of different spiritual experiences that David had. That's the way I view the book of Psalms. It was just, and if you walked along with the book of Samuel and you got to know the life of David, you would appreciate the book of Psalms, and you will appreciate, and I'm so thankful for him that he documented those experiences so that you and I can have a path to follow. And for me personally, I like the book of Psalms because, you know, sometimes when you are just so overwhelmed and you don't know what to pray, just open to the book of Psalms and just pray the book of Psalms. You know, because you do go through those seasons where you just cannot put into words what's going on in here. Just read the book of Psalms. It will bless you. So tonight I want to look at chapter 1 or verse of the book of Psalms. I believe that chapter 1 is also the summary of the most important lessons David learned in his life that made him to write the book of Psalms. And by the time I finish tonight, I will give you some of my favorite Psalms, because I really do have some favorite Psalms in here. I like Psalm 23, I like Psalm 20, I like Psalm 15, I love Psalm 25. When I'm angry, I love to pray Psalm 35 over my enemies. The Bible says, contend against those who contend against me. I love the Psalms, you know. I got my favorite Psalms, so I'll give you some of my favorite Psalms. But tonight we're looking at chapter 1. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. He said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to look at that word, blessed. It's a powerful word, and it means to be empowered to prosper. Another word, when you empower somebody, is you give them the right to. You give them the ability to. You show them the way to. Those are the meanings of that word, blessed. You know, and pastors always saying that when people sneeze and we use blessed, you know, bless you. You know, but the real meaning of being blessed is to be given an empowerment to prosper. And chapter 1 says, empowered to prosper is that person being given the ability to succeed, the right to walk in success. The word prosperity means living life on a smooth path. That was one meaning of prosperity that I found that I love. It said living life, being guided through life on a smooth, clean path. That is what it means to prosper. So when we're talking about prosperity tonight, we're not just talking about the dollar bills. We're talking about every area of our life, being carried through life in every area of our life on a smooth, easy, clean path. So I'm talking about our finances, I'm talking about our health, I'm talking about our children, I'm talking about our family, I'm talking about our businesses, I'm talking about our jobs, everything that constitutes to your life. When we are enjoying the prosperity of God, it means we are being led on a smooth, clean, easy path. So that when others are struggling, you will not struggle. When others are down, you are not down. Where others are hopeless, you have hope. When others are sick, you are whole by the blood of Jesus. And so this scripture says, blessed is that man, empowered is that man. I looked at the whole book of Psalms, and I saw that the entire psalm comprises of three things. And those three things that the whole chapter 1 to chapter 150 comprises of is also what I have come to realize, that this entirety of this Bible comprises of three things. And I also realize that in our lives, if we are ever going to prosper in any area of our life, we must watch those three things in our lives. Somebody say, what are those, Pastor Ruth? Number one is your thoughts, your words, and your actions. Your thoughts, your words, and your action. They drive the path of your life. Wherever we are at today is a result of our thought that formed our word, that guided our action, and ended us up wherever we are today. And I realized that those three keys, they are so important. And that's really what I want to talk to us tonight in chapter 1 of verse. Because if you can get that, then you are qualified. Because there are some psalms that is difficult to read those psalms if your thoughts are not right. It's difficult to read those psalms if your words are not right. I have read some psalms here that I'm afraid to even read it out loud. You know, did you feel that way? So you just skip some of those pages? Because it's like you're cursing yourself because you're thinking, oh my goodness, is that in the psalms? But it's in there. And God wants us to be able to enjoy all the benefits that is in that psalm. And so tonight I wrote that, I said, three things that our life sits upon, that our prosperity is linked to, that our well-being in life is attached to, is our thoughts, our words, and our action. Because our thoughts decide our word. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. When you think it and you speak it, it's only a matter of time you will do it. And so it's very important here that God is saying for you to be able to key in the prosperity that I have for you, the prosperity that Jesus Christ has already gone to the cross for, you've got to watch your thoughts, your words, and your action. And I realize that those three things are affected by people. Your thoughts are affected by people. Your words are affected by people. Your actions are affected by people. And so the Bible is saying, empowered is that man who is going to watch his thoughts, his words, and his action by not going with the ungodly. Who is the ungodly? The ungodly people are the opposite of the righteous people. They are people whose thoughts, words, and actions are directly opposite to God's command. And God says that you cannot go and take counsel from people who are in direct opposite to him. People who do not see the way he sees. People who do not believe the way he believes. People who do not plan the way he plans. People who do not say the way he says. And people who do not do the way he does. Those cannot be your counselors. And God is saying, and David is reminding us, that you have already been given an empowerment to prosper. But that empowerment can be tarnished. It can be delayed. It can be destroyed if the people speaking counsel into your life are ungodly people. And it's very, very difficult. Because I realize in the world we live today that the ungodly people have packaged their message in such a smooth, nice, logical way that it takes you being in a very, very high level of discernment to be able to pick out the things they are saying. Ungodliness is being repackaged in our world today. And if you're not careful, don't allow reasoning to cloud your judgment. Don't allow carnal reasoning, because it will be like, well, she didn't really say anything bad, but did she really say something scripturally right? And I'm trying right now to think of an ungodly counsel that I can give you, that you have to look at. Don't tithe. Well, God understands you don't have money. God understands you have bills to pay. That's an ungodly counsel. My husband and I are going through in this season where maybe you just need to dump him and find somebody else you won't be going through with. That's an ungodly counsel. Well, you're told to be here at 2 o'clock. Oh, Rob, you don't need to listen to them and be there at 2 o'clock. If you turn up at 4:30, that's not too bad. That's an ungodly counsel. Because ungodly counsel, we have to be discerning to know what an ungodly counsel is. And if we begin to look tonight that we are only able to read, we are only able to embrace and manifest and activate the blessings in the book of Psalms in our life, then if we know that our thoughts, our words, and our action holds the keys to our success in life, holds the key to our prosperity, holds the key to living that Zoe life, nothing missing, nothing broken, then we will watch out for ungodly counsels. Because many times ungodly counsel are those counsel that are the quick fix counsels. They are the quick fix counsels. And you've got to be careful. And I believe David put it there because David sat under a lot of ungodly counsel. David himself suffered a lot of pain for listening to ungodly counsels. And so he is qualified to tell us, hey, be careful of those people. The next people he said, do not sit, not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. Standing in the path of sinners. Those who consistently disrespect and undermine God. Those who consistently and constantly live a life that misses the mark of God. Those who really do not care if God is sitting up in heaven and they are not concerned about what he feels. They just want to gratify their flesh and they consistently and constantly gratify the flesh. God said, don't go in their path because it's only a matter of time. You're going to do exactly what they're doing. And if you're going to prosper, if your thoughts are going to be in line with God's thoughts and your words are going to be in line with God's words and your actions are going to reflect Christ, then you cannot walk with sinners. People who are constantly doing opposite of the word of God cannot be your best buddies. If you're struggling with smoking, your best buddy cannot be another smoker. If you're trying to get out of being addicted to something, your palace cannot be somebody addicted to something. You cannot continue walking in the path of sinners. It will affect your thoughts, your words, and your action. There's a proverb that they normally say, you know, back where I come from. They said, whoever moves around with the dog will eat the poop that the dog eats. Whoever moves around with the dog. And there's another thing that says, birds of the same feather flock together and end up in the same destination together. So if you're going to walk in this prosperity of God, you've got to watch for the sinners. And many times, sinning may not be blatant. You know, just because somebody is not fornicating, committing adultery, doesn't mean they don't have sins in their life that they can translate to you. How many people know backbiting is a sin? It may not be that glaring, but it's a sin. And if you keep walking with backbiters, you're going to become one. Gossiping is a sin. Negativity is a sin. If you keep moving around with them sooner or later, you're just going to turn out exactly. And we don't need to know who you've been moving with. We can just tell by the words that start coming out of your mouth and the actions you start displaying. And it's so important. It's so, so important that we watch that. I say, do not. Those who disregard the law of God, they have absolute no regard for the word, nor do they embrace it in any way. They have been blinded by the king of this world, which is Satan, and they enjoy the evil things they do. And there are some people that do evil things. There are some people that do evil things. And God is saying we have to be careful. So does not stand in the ways, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Who are the scornful? They're contentious people. They're arrogant people. They're bad-mouthed people. When people are skunks, they just skunk. Nothing pleases them. No matter what you do, you can put your head down, raise your two legs up. When people are scornful, they are people that are never satisfied with anything. And they never see the good in anything. They always have a negative comment for everything, no matter how good it is. You can buy a brand new car like Sister Betty just bought, and they walk around to the car and they will notice the little speck on the door. Scornful people. That's just who they are. There's nothing good. They cannot see anything good in anything. They just sit and scorn everything. The only thing they don't scorn is what they're doing. Everything else, very contentious. Very contentious. We need to watch it. We need to watch it. We need to watch those people. People who badmouth things. I don't believe that's an anointing from God, to always speak bad about everything. I don't think it's an anointing from God. I think it's something we have to watch. It says, but his delight is in the law of God. And tonight I want to encourage us. The greatest delight you and I can have is in the word. Because the Bible says, your word, O Lord, forever is settled in heaven. The Bible said, the heaven and the earth may pass away, but nothing out of the word of God will go without fulfillment. And what is it to delight? Is to intensely fall in love with something. When you delight in it, you intensely are in love with that thing. You intensely love it. You have a deep affection for that thing. It's like, oh, without this thing, I cannot live. And that is the attitude God wants us to have towards his word. And that was what David ended up becoming. Through all his experiences in life, he ended up realizing that God was the ultimate. He became a lover of God. And the love of God was what pushed David to write in the Psalms. And I think areas in our life that we want to see major change, begin to meditate on the word of God in those areas. Take a scripture and sit with it. The Bible says in Psalm 27, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When you sit with that scripture for the next 2 weeks, fear will leave your life. If you understand that the Lord is your light and your salvation. Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and the staff, they comfort me. Says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Meaning, I don't give a damn what my enemy wants to do. The table is prepared already, and I'm going to feast on it. Meditate on the word. Psalm 121, one of the psalms, I read it every day. I will lift up my eyes unto the hill, from where cometh my help. You see, it is the help that you get sent from above that lasts. Those are the kind of help that man would not want to take the glory for. But when you keep looking for help in man, they will kill you. And many times those help will never last. But when you keep your eyes onto the hills, your help comes. He said, my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He said that he will not allow my foot to be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my shade. On my right hand, the sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve me from all evil. He will preserve my life. He will preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forward and forevermore. Meditate on the word, church. Meditate on the word. I don't care what the devil is doing. My life is preserved. If I go, that means it's the time for me to go. So I'm not living life afraid of what the devil wants to do no more. That used to be the street I lived on. Please meditate on the word. Take your delight in the word. Take the word of God and chew on it until it becomes you. Until it becomes you. Until it becomes you. I encourage you tonight. take the word. You can only do this with a clear mind if you have not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, or stood in the path of the sinners, or sat in the seat of the scornful. Then you have confidence to take the word and meditate on that word and activate it in your life. The Bible says if your heart does not condemn you, then you have confidence to approach the throne of grace and obtain mercy for your time of need. It's so important. His delight is in the law. One of my scriptures that I love is Psalm 20. It says, may the Lord answer me in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend me. My goodness, may he send me help from the sanctuary and strengthen me out of Zion. May he remember all my offerings and accept all my sacrifice. Meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. It begins to build your confidence. It begins to give you boldness. You begin to find peace in the midst of your storm, because you know that he who keeps you neither sleep nor slumber. Do you know that people who are paid as security people to watch over buildings fall asleep in the middle of the night, even though they get paid? But I am so thankful that he who watcheth over me neither sleeps nor slumber. Do you know the people watching over the tower where the aircraft is flying fall asleep? But I'm so thankful that while I'm on that plane flying, he that is keeping me is not sleeping, is not slumbering. Meditate on the word. It will change your life. Those things you think you will never change about you, the word will begin to change it, if you're willing. Because when the word show you you, I tell you, the first few occasions, you would just close the Bible and walk away. But I dare you to go back and let God show you you so that he can begin to transform you. Because until we're willing to see us the way we are, he can't do much. Got to be able to look at yourself and say, yeah, I got that. Yeah, that's my name. When he got to Jacob, he said, what is your name? He knew he was going to change it to Israel, but he needed Jacob to acknowledge, dude, where you coming from? He was coming from Jacob to get Israel, but you got to admit that Jacob existed. Because there were some psalms that David wrote in those psalms, that it was just a psalm just expressing the bigness of God. He was completely taken about that. How gracious is this God? How mighty is this God? How awesome are you? How marvelous are you? There is no God like you. If you read Psalm 119, those were one of those verses, chapters where David was just expressing. He couldn't contain himself. He was looking for words to express the bigness, the goodness, the greatness, the graciousness of this God. And it only comes from a depth of somebody that has made his delight is in God. Who is your delight in tonight? That's the key to our prosperity. That's the key to us having a good life. That's the key to us enjoying everyday life. It's when our delight is in the law of God. And the Bible says, on this you meditate day and night. What does it mean to meditate? Meditation means to think deeply about something. To think deeply. That is what it means to meditate. It's not just to read it. It's to sit down and have a discourse with that thing. Have a meeting with that thing. And the Bible says, meditating on the word, you actually sit down and you have a conversation with the word of God. And this conversation, you don't do it flimsily. Your mind must be fixed and your thoughts must be fixed on that word you are having a discourse with. And I think the church is getting to the place where we need to stop just reading the Bible. We need to begin to have a discourse with the word of God. When you begin to have a discourse with the word of God, you are inviting the Holy Spirit to come and give you revelation. And that is when God will begin to expound that word to you. That is when God will begin to break it down to fit your mold. That is when the word of God will come and meet you at the point of your need. That is when it stopped being something Pastor Daniel said or something Pastor Ruth said, but something the Holy Spirit said to you. You know, there is a difference between those two. There is a difference when it's Pastor Daniel saying it and when God reveals it to you. Even if Pastor Daniel turns around tomorrow and says, well, I don't think that is it. If the Lord has revealed it to you, you have a sounding conviction that no man can take away from you. You know the scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good, is no longer a cliche for me. It's no longer a nice thing to say because I'm a Christian. I have tasted and I have experienced and I know that God is good. So even if everybody in this room says, well, I haven't experienced that, it still does not nullify it because I have experienced it, I have tested it, I know with a knowing, an unshakable knowing that God is good all the time. That's why you have to meditate on the word. It is in meditation that your instruction comes out. It is in meditation that your thought pattern begins to change. It is when you meditate that God begins to perform a surgery in the place of your mind. That is why Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind only gets renewed on the word you have meditated long enough that you are convinced, you've taken that truth, you've implanted it, and then you have a corresponding action to that effect. And so you can't just read the Bible. Don't be in a hurry. Bible in a year. Just came through it. And they ask you, so what did you read? No. Sit with yourself. Sit with yourself. I do that many times. You may not be able to expose your weakness to man. Baby girl, tell the Lord about it. He knows already. He just makes God feel better when you open your mouth yourself and tell him, God, I was bad today. And when you begin to meditate on the word, it exposes you to you. That's where transformation begins. It shows you you. You come in contact with you when you begin to meditate. Because with meditation, you will find exactly where you are at and where you need to be. That's what meditation does for you. And you can't tell the Holy Ghost where you're lying. You're just like Pastor Ruth, trying to bother people. No, the Holy Ghost don't try to bother people. He's just telling the truth. I feel very strong about meditation. And I think it's time for the church to rise up. To rise up. Don't just read the word. Don't just take this Bible. I believe everything in the Bible, everything in that Bible is about what kind of respect we have for God. Is how we treat the word. So it's no point. That's why we've got to be careful. And I'm still working on this. And I will say something and the Holy Ghost will be like, did you just? And some of us, your fast this month of June may just be the things you open your mouth to say, maybe your own fast. You don't even need food. Just your mouth. If you can just shut up the whole month of June, you will get a breakthrough. Yours may not be food. If you can just zip it up this month of June, that may be your greatest breakthrough this year. Because it's so powerful what we say with our mouth. It's so powerful. It can change the course of destinies. I've seen full-grown people today that what their mother said 25 years ago, the ripple effect, they're still living it today. Words are powerful. Be careful what you say with your mouth. And it's the same way, whatever seed you sow with your mouth, you will reap it back. Somebody else will say it about you. We've got to be careful. And I'm still learning this. I'm still learning it, but I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost is always at hand to say, you better. And it's Pastor Daniel that taught me that just because you're quiet doesn't mean you're stupid. Because I always have something to say. The devil is a liar. I always, got to give something back. Especially if you rub me the wrong way. But now the Holy Ghost is staying no more. Doesn't go on too many vacations lately. I'm trying the Holy Ghost to be like, I got to stay home for this girl to make her destiny. Because if I keep taking vacation, Pastor is just going to lose it completely. So thank you, Holy Ghost, for not going for too many times. Seriously. And I had to learn from my husband that just because you don't give a response doesn't mean you're stupid. Doesn't mean you're stupid. Doesn't mean you're stupid. Just breathe over it. Just, and I'm learning the breathing exercise. Oh, just breathe. Just breathe on a daily basis. Just, you know, breathe. That's why I go to the gym every day, because I got to talk to myself in the gym. And I got to cuss out everybody. I want to cuss out to their face. I cuss them out in the gym. And it's just me and the Holy Ghost right in there. I don't have to go to them and just do it in the gym. Sign up for a gym membership. It's a good place to, you know, just have your own time. So by the time you go home, you're happy. One thing that I do a lot with my husband is when that conversation is kind of like sending the Holy Ghost on a vacation, I gotta go. Once I tell you I gotta go, you better be thankful, because the Holy Ghost is just leading me away right there. Because if he doesn't lead me and I swing back, I need prosperity. But it's so, seriously, I'm just being real tonight. We gotta watch what we say. Everything in us is a seed. If you sow it, it's going to come right back. Got to watch it. It says, whose leaves shall not wither? Whatever you do shall prosper. He said, but the ungodly are not so. Ungodly people, they are like chaff. They have no stamina, no stability, no substance. They're surface people. They open their mouth and they talk, excuse my language, crap. They just open their mouth, you just want to go. Because there's no substance. They're very unstable. There's no stamina. They're the same people that will tell you they've read Genesis to Revelation, but one single problem, they're done. No substance whatsoever. Bible said they're like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Say, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God's desire is not for us to perish. God has not created you and I to perish. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the plan of God for you and I. But tonight I came to challenge somebody. Your thoughts have not been doing you much good. Change it tonight. Your thoughts have been your greatest enemy. Not your next door neighbor. Mm-mm. And no matter how bad we think those thoughts are, we can change it. We've all grown up with something. Oh, there are so many thoughts that I came from home with. But when you begin to meditate on the word of God, the word will begin to show you God's preference. And if your thought life is not aligned with God's preference, please dump it. It's not going to lead you anywhere but destruction. If all your thought life keeps telling you don't believe, doubt, be unstable, be angry, be offensive, you know, be nasty, be worried, be anxious for every... If that's your thought pattern, it's not going to lead to anything prosperous. That's what the word does. Said his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this he meditates day and night. And God says when his word becomes your delight, when you begin to meditate on the word and your thoughts begin to change and the things that comes out of your mouth begin to change and then your action begins to change, he says this is the good part. This is what's going to begin to happen in your life. He said then you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you know what happens when a tree is planted by the river? It means it's receiving 24-hour nutrients. It's getting all the nutrients. Nothing missing out. It's getting everything it needs to flourish. It's getting everything right there. Can you imagine? The tree planted. He's not missing out on anything. Nobody needs to take nothing to it. He's got it right there. The whole package. Said you will be like a tree. Your life will not be void of any nutrients. You will not be good in this area and struggling in that area. Your life will not be all in January and messed up by March. You will not be happy in June and depressed in September. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. 24-hour breakthrough. 24-hour blessing. Even when you're knocked down, you get up again. Because you're receiving nutrients. You're receiving everything you need. Nothing is too far away from your reach. It shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. I said that brings forth its fruit in its season. Meaning, no matter what is happening, a tree planted by the rivers, it doesn't matter when it's the season, the fruit will come. He said, you will bring forth your fruit in season. He said, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever. That's why he told Joshua. He said, Joshua, don't sit down there. Moses is dead. Get up and do something. And Moshe was there. Joshua was there crying, God, how can I do? He said, three things, baby. Take the book of the law. Let it not depart from your mouth. Meditate in it day and night to make sure you observe all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. It's not a big deal. And that's exactly what God is telling you and I. Every prosperity you and I are looking for is locked up in the law. How much of that law do you know? That's my question to you tonight. How much of that law have you meditated upon? How much of that law has changed your pattern of thinking? How much of that law has changed your vocabulary? Because many times, you just want to slap some Christian brothers and sisters. When they open their mouth, you just want to be a Holy Ghost slap and just slap them. Because you don't understand. The Bible says in the book of James that the power of life and death is in the tongue. You eat of the fruit whatever you say you get. That my husband taught me in my marriage. Because in the early stages of our marriage, when I'm not feeling well, I like to announce it. I like it just to get sympathy. Maybe pastor will leave me for that 2 days just to be ill and just drag my illness. So I will announce it. I'm not feeling well. My head hurts. My back hurts. And my husband had to teach me that the things you say with your mouth, honestly. And then I began to realize that when I say I'm sick, then the sickness doubles. I was only feeling a little headache, but the moment I open my mouth, it's as if headache comes, pain comes, indigestion comes, stress comes, irritation comes. It's like the whole package. I just signed up for the entire package. And it just comes. And then, to be honest, I was only feeling a slight headache. Now it's a huge stuff. Because I just opened my big mouth. And I learned that from my husband, that what you say is what you get. And so I stopped feeling sorry for myself. And if I really want sympathy, with my tears in my eyes, I say, I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling strong. I ain't got no headache. I don't want migraine. I don't want none of it. I'm feeling strong. Because as I began to meditate on the word and as I began to look at examples in the Bible of people who what they said with their mouth was what they got. I don't want it. And as believers, we have to be careful. Because you cannot erase it once you've signed for it. The stress, what you have to go through to erase your confession. Baby girl, don't even confess it from day one. Because there's no quick fix. There's no McDonald's drive-through to erase what you've said. It's a seed. It's sown. You're going to get the harvest. At least not the kind of prosperity God wants for you. And our thought is so strong. Because if we can win the battle in the thought realm, we can win the battle everywhere else. Our greatest battleground is the mind. That's where it starts from. That's why you've got to be careful. You can't afford for anything else outside of the word of God to be the final umpire in your mind. You can't allow the magazines or the newspapers or movies to give you the morals in life, to teach you the way of prosperity. The only thing that should be teaching us is the word of God. And I know I've been very guilty of my thoughts. Sometimes those thoughts, they overwhelm you to a point where you don't even know how to begin to change it. And if you're not careful, the enemy will convince you to say, well, that's who you are. There's nothing you can do. There's something you can do. Delight yourself in the word of God. The word of God, the Bible says he's strong, he's powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. It can take out anything at any time. Change your thoughts today. Because if you can change your thoughts, you can change your life. If you can change your thoughts, you can change your situation. There is no situation that a changed mind cannot change. Change your thoughts today. I feel so strong about it. And it's not something you're just going to say, well, I've changed my mind in January, and you're just going to leave your mind wandering till December. I can guarantee you the enemy will come every single day to introduce a thought to you. That's why you have to know the word of God. Because if you don't know the word of God, to be able to discern, to be able to put it beside it and say, does God say this? You're going to take everything that comes. Can you see now that knowing God and knowing his word is profitable? It is so profitable. Because we're living in a world today that if you do not know the word, I'm telling you, there's a saying that says, if you do not stand for something, you will fall for everything. The only way you can stand for something, especially God, is to know him by his word. And knowing God by his word. You know, I've seen a lot of people, oh, I've been a Christian 20 years. Baby girl, you cannot outknow God. Whether you've been in church 55 years, there's still something about God you haven't discovered. Find it out. Doesn't matter how long you've been. There's still something about God that you can learn. But I'm so feeling so strong about this thought. All day today, that's all I kept on thinking. Our thoughts, the kind of thoughts we allow, the kind of pattern of thinking. For years, I don't know where it came from. I think, you know, I finally realized, this was like, I was probably 16 or 17 when my mother and I traveled. We went from Lagos to the village and we got in a car crash. And that car crash put fear in me. That fear plagued me right up till last year, June. Last year, June, I was traveling. And every time that I travel now, and that thing wants to come past, so we say, don't close your eyes. Because when you close your eyes, it's as if those thoughts have found themselves a place to have put a picture in me. And this happened to me when I was going to Baltimore. About two and a half, three weeks or thereabout ago when I went to Baltimore. And it's so bad that fear will cripple me that in the morning when I'm traveling, when I'm about to travel, I will start going to the restroom for no reason. I would have diarrhea. Diarrhea did not come. Diarrhea came as a thought that I entertained and I received it that began to have reaction in my physical body. Your thought will manifest in your life whether you like it or not. And it was so, and I would pray, and everybody would pray for me, and pastor would pray for me when I'm traveling. And then when I was going on this Baltimore trip, I got on that plane that day, and I said to the devil, I said, if you don't kill me on this flight, you're never going to kill me again. And that was, I slept all through. For the first time on a flight, I slept all through to Baltimore. I slept all through the way back. Because I meditated enough to say, this God that I'm reading about, I don't care who else died of car crash, I didn't pick that when I was coming. What I picked when I was coming was I was going to be 89, 90 years old. I was going to go to church, come back from church, eat my favorite dinner, pray for my kids and my grandkids, put my legs in the bed, and I'll go home. That's what I picked. I don't care what anybody else picked, because you have